Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
If you skip the chance to eat properly, get enough sleep, or maintain regular activity levels, you can get sluggish or sick. The same goes for certain business functions, including risk management. In keeping up with advances in a fast-moving world, a failure to maintain digital fitness means you can become obsolete. I'm Neil Amato, a senior editor with FM Magazine. On this edition of the FM podcast, PwC partner Brian Schwartz breaks down the habits of risk management functions considered to have high-level digital fitness and offers advice for organizations looking to up their game when it comes to risk management. Joining me on the podcast is Brian Schwartz from PwC. Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Happy to be on, Neil. Thank you.
Hiring and upskilling for digital prowess. It doesn't seem like it's an easy thing to accomplish. It's not a one-time thing. What are the issues that even the companies that are good at it are doing, and the ones that are struggling with, what are they facing out there today?
You know, with all the digital transformations that all the companies are sort of moving through these days, and the risk functions, their biggest question is, how do I stay relevant as my company moves through the digital transformation process? So one of the ways we help our clients sort of stay relevant is we talk about upskilling, as you just brought up as a topic, Neil. So upskilling is, it's multifaceted for sure, and it has to happen over and over again as the technologies change and alter a bit. But basically, there's four things that companies need to do to really drive an upskilling culture, if you will. One is adapt or educate current resources so they can become smarter in terms of new technologies. That's number one. Number two would be going out to the market and hiring a different profile type person with different skills and competencies. That would be kind of the second option. Third option would be leveraging third parties to bring in skills that they currently don't have in-house. So that's certainly an option, like always. And then fourth, it's just combining all three of the ones I just mentioned to really come up with an upskilling strategy. So really all four of those are ways companies are moving it forward at this point.
And so this upskilling strategy, it's not just a let's hire someone and send them to 8 hours of training. It's about kind of creating a learning environment that is continuous, right?
It is, Neil. It's really about almost changing the way a company helps employees learn and develop, because new technologies are going to become part of the day-to-day business environment. So it'll be a really new way for them to learn and to actually go to school on those new technologies, really on a day-to-day basis. So it's very different than prior.
So this talent management and engagement of the risk talent, I guess, it's one of the six habits of risk functions that fuel smarter thinking. Do you want to talk about some of the other habits? We'll get back to the talent angle, but maybe to talk about the other things that companies with digitally fit risk functions are doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one, as you mentioned, of the six habits. So the six habits are really as follows. The first one we just talked about is upskilling. We'll get back to that. Number two is really about going all in on really partnering with their stakeholders on their digital journey. So being part of the digital transformation as a risk function, being really in the day, in the moment, in terms of how a company moves through that process, that would be certainly one of those habits. Another habit would be find the right fit for using themselves emerging technologies. So how can the risk function itself become more automated and become more reliant upon and leveraging these emerging technologies? So that would certainly be one of the six habits. And then the last three would be enabling the organization to act on risk sort of in a real-time manner. So how does a risk function build capabilities to deliver risk insights in a real-time basis for the stakeholders to leverage? That would certainly be a habit. Actively engaging decision makers throughout the company on key digital initiatives. So is the risk function becoming part of that decision process to decide to put in, let's say, a new technology or a new system to be used? And then the sixth and final habit would be, how does the risk function collaborate throughout the day with the business? So with their stakeholders, how engaged are they at helping them understand how to initiate and deliver on digital assets within the business? So those sort of combine, Neil, as you mentioned, to really become the six habits of these dynamic risk functions.
In our internal survey, we have a U.S. survey of finance decision makers, quarterly survey. The top challenge for 8 consecutive quarters, at least, maybe even 2.5 years, but at least 2 years, has been availability of skilled personnel. So people are looking to get these high-level jobs, you know, these digitally fit jobs, but are they finding they're having to immediately train people as it regards to risk or other parts of the business?
You know, here's what's interesting. Hiring is really changing. So first of all, to your point, Neil, it's really hard to find these people. Everybody, including firms like PwC and obviously companies out there that are not in the same service as we are, that we're all looking for the same types of people to hire from the market into our organizations and into our firms. People who look differently, think differently, have different skills and competencies, because you need that diversity in skill sets and competencies to really take what you have in your existing department or function and actually accentuate it or enhance it with these different types of skill sets. So the hiring is a really big challenge, mainly because we're all going after the same small pool of candidates. So that's sort of one aspect of that. The other aspect is, once you get them in here into a company, how do you quickly sort of get them grounded on what the company does and what the culture is like, and have them use their skills to take your culture to maybe the next level from a digital or technology standpoint? But I'll tell you, I think the biggest challenge of all is taking existing employees that sit in the company today, and specifically in these risk functions that span the lines of defense, how do you actually upskill those people? Because bringing in a bigger challenge, in my opinion, is taking the people you had, the good people, and making them better from a digital standpoint.
Yeah, that's a good point. So what part of that, though, is there some part of it that maybe needs to be on the employee to seek out the training to stay relevant themselves?
Absolutely, yes. A lot of initiative has to come from the employee. Let me give you an example. So at PwC, we have the same challenge, right? We are trying to take a couple hundred thousand resources and upskill ourselves to be more digitally fit, so we can go out and obviously stay very relevant to our clients. So one of the programs we have is called Digital Lab. And what Digital Lab does, it's a online technology sharing community that PwC has built within our firm. So we go out and say, all employees from partner down to the very first year associate, come up with digital ideas on how to either get better at understanding digital technologies or come up with an idea how we can actually benefit our clients, put it on the online community, get comments on it, share it, go back and forth, and come out with something that actually creates value for yourself and for the firm and therefore for our clients. So using these sort of community-led ideas like Digital Lab, that's one way to get folks to really take ownership, show initiative, and actually have fun upskilling themselves.
That's a good example of how it can work. But yeah, you're right. Especially in an organization your size, it can't be easy to say, okay, let's get our entire workforce more digitally fit in a short amount of time.
Absolutely. It's a real big challenge to get everybody to move sort of at the same time, at the same pace. And clearly some folks will gravitate towards it easier and faster because they might have more of an interest or more of a background. But even those who have not really been exposed to the digital assets, they've got to get up to speed quickly and in the right way to actually stay relevant to their jobs, to their clients, to their companies, and the like.
Are there some, I guess, categories in your recent survey that you put companies in? There were the dynamics, I guess, were the most digitally fit, and then, you know, what were their characteristics, and what were the categories of the other companies?
So a couple of things on that. So we measured risk functions against, we call these five dimensions, to determine whether they're a dynamic or not a dynamic. So let me just hit that quickly first. The five dimensions we measured these risk functions against were as follows. The first one was vision and roadmap. You know, do they have a plan to become digitally fit as a risk function? Number two, do they have new ways of working? Do they have use or leverage new skills and competencies to work differently, faster, smarter, and the like? Number three, we looked at the operations of these risk functions. Are they leveraging data so they can in turn effectively challenge their stakeholders? So how are they operating the actual group or department differently today? And then number four is, do they have a different service model in mind? Are they going out with different services to their stakeholders? Let's say, for instance, are they offering more advice on digital governance as the stakeholders putting in more digital tools? So that's the fourth dimension we use. And then the final fifth dimension we use was, how engaged are the risk functions with their stakeholders? Do they actually get involved when the stakeholder says, I'm thinking about putting in a new technology, let's say like robotics process automation. So is the risk function at the table at that point and through the implementation? So those are the five dimensions we measured risk functions against to find out what category they're in. So you mentioned dynamics. So those are the risk functions that are most digitally fit. The next category we're called actives. They're the ones who are starting to take steps towards becoming more digitally fit, but they're not certainly at the level of what we call the dynamics. And then the third and final category that we bucketed these survey participants in, we called beginners. They're kind of ad hoc, just really starting to think about their digital fitness as a risk function. So dynamics, actives, and beginners are what we actually categorize based on those five dimensions.
And so on the topic of dynamics and their talent management, I'm going to read from a part of the report and just get you to expand on it. It says, our discussions with executives showed that risk functions are considering contingent talent in order to onboard specialized skills. Tell me more about contingent talent, what exactly that means.
So the contingent talent takes a few different sort of models or shapes. Contingent talent could be bringing in sort of a third party to enhance what you have while you're upskilling what you currently have, because upskilling takes time. You might have to have a contingent plan and bring in a third party to actually fill in the gap that you might have until you're fully upskilled. So that's a good example of contingent talent. It's also, again, bringing new people in from the outside while you try to upskill your current people that we talked about, in terms of having a fresh perspective and really offsetting what you're missing internally until they get upskilled. So those are a couple examples of really using a contingency around existing talent within a group.
When people hear robotic process automation, you know, depending on their job duties, they can get a little scared. But are you finding that some of these digitally fit risk functions are able to kind of work with the RPA to be able to maybe add more analysis, or is it something that's you know, are people being replaced?
You know, RPA, that's one of those new technologies that I even hesitate to use the word new in front of technologies, because RPA was sort of the first one that these functions started taking advantage of. And there's still a long way to go with RPA, but at least it's a more known new technology, so they're really leveraging it. So here's an example. If you're a third-line internal audit function, for example, we're working with our clients at PwC to help them automate the controls testing that the third line does. So if you can take RPA and build bots to actually make the controls testing more efficient and quicker, you know, at one-tenth of the speed it took from a manual standpoint, that's a huge win for internal audit, because you can get more done faster. So that's an example of RPA sort of in the third line. And if you look at the first line, the business, right, the ones who are actually owning the controls, we're working with them to actually help them automate the actual controls. So you have RPA automating controls, and you have RPA actually automating the testing of controls. So RPA is definitely making its progress through a lot of companies these days. Still a long way to go, but it's certainly one of the first ones that's being leveraged pretty effectively. And I don't think we're seeing, you know, resources go away because RPA is put in. I think we're seeing resources just become more efficient while the RPA and after the RPA is put in.
And so Dynamics, I guess, in your rankings, they're incorporating new performance metrics?
Yeah, they are. They're putting in new performance measures, or actually even in some cases creating new performance scorecards holistically. So when they measure themselves as a risk function against this scorecard, or if they measure their professionals within the risk group against a scorecard, they can really look at specific things that they're doing to actually drive digital. So one scorecard might have a performance measure around, have you helped your stakeholders as a risk function put in more governance standards around using digital assets? So at the end of the year, they see a lot of recommendations being made for digital governance being put in. They can give themselves a better score. So they're actually, at the end of the year, they're saying, did we do well or did we not do well? And that's not only based on the old stuff, it's based on the new technology stuff and being digitally fit and actually benefiting and adding value to their stakeholders.
Brian, this has been excellent information today. Is there anything you'd like to add in closing?
Yeah, Neil, one thing, I want to share how companies can advance their risk functions, digital fitness, because we talked about Dynamics being the most digitally fit. But if you're a beginner out there, you're trying to think about how do I advance to dynamic, you know, what does that even mean tangibly? Let me kind of share in my words what that means. So I think about five ways that they can get started. Number one is they need to start with identifying the gaps in their own digital fitness. So be honest and be very candid with how good you are today from a resource standpoint, understanding digital assets. That's sort of one, that sort of gap analysis, if you will. Number two would be, can they leverage other things that exist in the company already, like centers of excellence and things like that around new products and services? A lot of companies have these emerging technology groups. So can the risk function attach themselves to that and leverage sort of the center of excellence concept that already exists within the company? So that would be a way. Number three, and we talked a lot about this already, get the current employees upskilled and hire different profile people. You do those two things together, you're going to be amazed how quickly you become more astute around digital assets and digital fitness in general. Number four would be, to the point I made earlier about what PwC is doing, promote and reward citizen-led innovation. So get an ideation process going and incentivize employees to come to the table or put into a database ideas to become more digitally fit. It's amazing how much they have in their heads. Share it with the company, leverage off that power. And then number five, and the last one I'll mention is really, you know, it doesn't hurt, at the beginning at least, to team with a third party who can quickly advance your digital acuity, because it takes time to ramp up your own digital fitness, and it's okay to leverage third parties to help get you there on a quicker path. So that's what I would share as closing thoughts, Neil.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Hey, I appreciate it, Neil, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.